Welcome, everybody, to Are You Not Kentertained? Today is February 19th. It's 6:02 a.m. It's just cat hosting again. Man, we are hitting a big rut. That's for sure. So joining me this week is me. And nobody else, because as noted last week, even though you didn't get to hear it last week, Carrie is gone until May, and Russ is still dealing with some personal issues. So, oh, and Steve is sick. So that leaves me to be the bastion of all WWE hope. Yay! All right. Much like last week, I'm really just going to go through what happened on Raw, what happened on SmackDown, probably mock Russ a little bit, maybe mock Kerry a little bit, and finish this off as quickly as humanly possible. Before we do that, though, as Kerry would say, we needed our moment of bliss this week, so Kent, tell us what your moment of bliss is. And I would, you know, hem and haw. And the reality is I don't have much, but probably about a half hour ago, I just read that Netflix has signed a contract with Ryan Murphy for up to $300 million, and they basically stole him from Fox. And technically stolen from Fox and ABC and Disney, because, you know, that thing's still happening. Signed him to Netflix, and I think this is a good thing. Ryan Murphy is behind quite a few successful shows. He was behind Glee, American Horror Story, American Crime Story, new show 9-1-1, Feud. I know I'm missing one or two other ones. I think Nip Tuck. He's very successful. He's very successful at what he does. He also, Ryan Murphy's the hell out of some stuff, and American Horror Story is the one show of his that I do watch a lot. And last season was the worst. And the season before that was one of the worst. So it's been a downhill trend. And I'm pretty happy, because they're going to continue making American Horror Story, so maybe we won't see as much man-ass. Maybe there won't be as much political correctness. Ryan Murphy did have his good points, and I'm not trying to discredit him, but there were times when you would watch the show and you're screaming at your TV that this is such bullshit. And for all the positives Murphy has, he also has an equal amount of negatives, and it could be very maddening. So, I don't know. Whoever they put in to guide American Horror Story through its next two seasons, because I believe there's only two seasons remaining, get your shit together and get back to horror. Tell a good story. Have good characters. We don't need to check off one black guy, one black chick, one gay dude, or 50 gay dudes in Murphy's case, you know, 15 lesbian couples, you know, 3 Asian people, family of Asians, a clown, you know, vampire, Lady Gaga. Like, you don't need to do the checklist. Tell a good story. I don't care if the whole cast is black, for instance. Just don't be so far up your own asshole that you have to make it so that every single race, religion, orientation is covered. You don't need to. Just tell a fucking good story. That's all. That's all I'm asking for. I don't give a fuck if there's not a single white, straight male in the whole thing. I give zero fucks. I just want a good story and some woman ass and boobs. I know, that's asking a lot, but hey, let's show 50 fucking gay men ass, and that's great, but we can't show a woman's ass. What a time we are living in. And of course, I'm saying this during a wrestling podcast in which we see scantily clad men every week. But, yeah, so aside from that, I don't know. I have a purple yoga mat, and that was my moment of bliss. So, let's start off with Raw. For first-time listeners or long-time listeners, this is all just going to sound like shit, but I'm going to give it a shot, okay? We had Cena and Miz. They cut a little promo. They did what they do best. I will go so far as to say that Edge and Cena are probably, like, Edge is probably Cena's best rival. But when all is said and done, Miz could end up being Cena's best rival. Miz brings out the best in Cena and vice versa. And the same can be said for Edge. So, like, I don't know. It depends. But either way, it was classic between those two. And the loser of the match was going to be in the men's elimination chamber match first. You would be shocked to find out that John Cena won the match. I know, I didn't see that coming either, but it happened. Big game, John. I can't complain. I mean, the week before, he did job to Elias. Yeah, no, you know what? I can't complain. Fuck Cena. The only thing I'll say is that after the match, of course, they showed him, you know, talking to some kid with some awful disease and giving him the wristband, and his parents were happy. And that kind of makes me feel like an asshole for ripping on Cena. Cena the person, I think, is a legitimately good dude. And even if he's not, I don't care if he's a shit person. He does a lot of good stuff for kids with that are, you know, dying or sick or whatever. I respect the hell out of that. It's the booking of Cena the wrestler. It's his death grip on WWE's balls for the past 15 years. It's the fact that when he's had opportunities to help make other people, he chose not to. He chose not to, you know, fight for Wade Barrett, fight for Rusev, fight for, you know, any number of guys, quite frankly. And that's where it's shitty. That's where, you know, the hatred comes from, is because it's so short-sighted. And I'll come back to this later, because there's somebody with really wet hair that I have to talk about. It's such a stupid mentality to not build up as many main event people as possible. You don't need 30, but you need plenty of top-level people, because that way it doesn't get boring at the top of the pecking order. And not only that, instead of a pay-per-view just having one big main event, you now have solidified, you know, we'll say 10 guys that are all main event quality, and you can do something with that. You can say that this match, like the third biggest match on the card, is still like main event worthy, and it feels that way. That was something WCW did pretty well at certain points in their success, and then there's the rest of the shit. But, you know, they did do that right. And, well, the Attitude Era also did it right, because WWE had, you know, some of their, like, third or fourth biggest matches on the card were amazing. We don't get that anymore. And it's because of the booking of people like Cena and Mr. Wet Hair. There's no reason that somebody like The Miz shouldn't be viewed as a equal at this point. But he's not. He never will be. And that's a shame. Moving on, we had The Revival. You know, the greatest tag team right now going to day carry. You know, that team. You know, the one that's better than the old fucks. Yeah. Oh, they beat They beat those guys, Gallows and Anderson. They were part of some club. The Bullet Club. Oh, that sucks. Actually, I love Gallows and Anderson. I don't give a fuck about their past affiliation with a shitty group. They are amazing. The Revival's amazing. I'm fine if this goes on until WrestleMania. If these two teams want to keep feuding, I am fine with it. Please. I'm fine if they keep exchanging victories. That's fine. Let them keep talking on the mic. This is some of the best underrated tag team wrestling going on right now. It's excellent. So, yes, I was happy the Revival won. And I would prefer that they win the overall feud, but I'm fine if Gallows and Anderson get some victories along the way. That's how you keep this shit interesting. You don't have a golden shovel. I can't sit here and say this match was excellent. It was above average. It was a good, solid tag team match. And not every match needs to be a fucking 4 or 5 star classic. Sometimes just a solid match that tells a story is all we want as fans. So I was very happy with how this whole thing was done. There's a part of me I really like to see Carl Anderson. I'd like to see Carl Anderson get a singles run at some point. I think the dude can actually go in the ring, and I think he's kind of like a hidden gem. But he's been just tucked away in this tag team. But I think Anderson, I think Carl Anderson could be a legitimate star. Next up we had Kurt Angle talking about Jason Jordan, and nobody gives a fuck, and I don't know, I feel like Seth may have came out, and I don't know if the bar came out, I don't know. Something was happening. I don't know, I'm reading about it as I'm talking here, and Ronda Rousey's gonna sign her contract at the Elimination Chamber, so that's gonna be... what's the word I'm looking for? Lame as fuck. Yeah, that's it. Because that'll take forever, and it'll set up some bullshit angle between her and Stephanie. Fucks given. I'm looking. No, zero fucks given. Okay, fan-fucking-tastic. Seth, that's what this whole thing was. Seth whined to Kurt that he wanted a chance to be at the main event at WrestleMania, blah, 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 blah. And he wanted to be added to the Fatal 4-Way main event tonight to see who gets into the Elimination Chamber. Yep, he was granted access. Like, whatever, I don't care. Like, I know this is because Jason Jordan is legitimately injured. He's not going to be participating at WrestleMania, and that sucks for the guy. They were doing something with him. I'm not going to say it was good. I'm not saying it was bad. But they were at least doing something and making his character interesting. So, that is a shame that he is out. Mr. Rollins has ditched the Flaming Pants. So, I don't know. Maybe they were part of that package for Mr. Ryan Murphy to go to Netflix. Who knows? Oh. Anyway... because Ryan Murphy likes flaming pants, you know, pants with flames on them. That was the implication. Yeah, no. It was funny. If you know who Ryan Murphy is, you know that's fucking funny. If you don't know who he is, not as funny. But either way, it's a grown man with a pair of pants that have a bunch of fucking flames on them. Of course, that's terrible. Next up, we had Bayley versus Sasha Banks. I'm pretty sure I fell asleep. I don't remember this match. And this isn't like me trying to be funny. Like, this isn't me being like, February 25th, blah, blah, blah. No. I just fell asleep. I've been very tired this whole week. I haven't slept in a bed in, almost 2 weeks now. I'm starting to miss a bed. My sleep schedule is terrible. which is affecting my my mental wherewithal, to say the least. So, missing the bed and missing this match, I believe Nia came out and beat both their asses. Honestly, I don't care about this match. The only way I care about this match is if Sasha is heel. And heel Sasha versus face Bayley, that's one of the few women's matches that I would watch as a pay-per-view main event. That's how good those two girls can be. But will we ever get it? Who knows? Nia Jax, good for her. She's got a match against Asuka. Which, the rumor is that Nia's going to take on Bliss at Mania. But yet, Nia's going to have to job to Asuka at this next pay-per-view. So, that's not really a good way to build up the person you want to challenge for the belt at WrestleMania. That's really fucking stupid, right? Yeah. Also, Ivory was announced to be being this year's Hall of Fame, along with old Whisker Biscuit, Bill Goldberg, and the Dudley Boys. Ivory is very deserving, more deserving than Beth Phoenix was. And I like Beth, but Ivory was more deserving. Molly Holly was more deserving. Those two stand out to me as... I'm hoping Molly gets hers next year. She really, really, truly deserves it. And Ivory did too. So I'm very happy for Ivory. And quite frankly, Chyna deserves it too. She was an integral part in a lot of things during the Attitude Era. And the fact that she's not in there before, you know, Beth Phoenix is kind of repugnant. If we're really looking at this, it's downright disgusting. Once again, nothing against Beth Phoenix. She just didn't belong before some of these other women. That's all. Ivory, I'll remember her most from, you know, her time in GLOW, and God damn, she was so good in The Right to Censor. So freaking good. Like, her and Stevie... The Good Father, Val fucking Venus, Bull Buchanan. That stable should have been huge, and I believe it was the injury to Stevie that caused it not to be huge. One of the bigger missed opportunities of a stable in the history of wrestling. Like, that's how good that stable could and should have been. That's how good Stevie was. I'm almost positive now. I'm thinking about Stevie was hurt. Stevie was so good, so ahead of his time. He was Shawn Michaels' light, and that's such a huge compliment. Stevie was amazing in the ring, amazing on the mic. It's a shame we never got Stevie versus Shawn in a legit feud, because I think they could have tore the house down, but... I don't believe they ever had a one-on-one match. Next up, we had Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville defeating Bliss and Mickey. I don't remember this match either. I fell asleep. Once again, not me trying to be vindictive of women's wrestling. I legit fell asleep, and I did not give two fucks to go back and rewatch. Yes, I'm saying that, and you know how much I love Bliss. So, I've just been exhausted. It appears that the Rose and Deville won. I like the fact that Bliss and Mickey were a team, though. Maybe I will go back and watch it. That's how much I love Mickey and Bliss. I might. I was awake. This is when I did wake up. Because Elias came out. And as we all know, I got a little thing for Elias. Quite frankly, the thing with Elias is I saw him in NXT, and I said, this guy has everything to be a star. And they didn't use him properly. And I just recently read a day or two ago an interview, I believe, with Elias, and he was talking about, you know, him and Triple H talking, and Triple H said, you know, this gimmick's not so great for an NXT environment, but you're going to be huge once you get up to the main roster. It was just a matter of time to get him up to the main roster. And yeah, it was not good for the NXT crowd. It just wasn't. But as we're seeing now, it's paying off. Elias is money. If we're being real and honest here, Elias versus Brock at Mania, I know it's not going to happen. I know he's the last guy in that Elimination Chamber match that's going to get a win. I'm just saying, if you really think about it, that's not a bad matchup. Elias is a big, athletic dude with amazing mic skills. Put him in the ring with Brock. Let Brock sell some moves. Let Paul Heyman do his promos. That's how you would make a star. WWE's not interested in making stars. They're only interested in making like one star every 10 years. It's retarded. I was going to say mildly retarded. No, it's nothing mild about it. Of course, the other person that I think should win this match would be Braun Strowman. And he came out during Elias's segment, and he did a hell of a job singing. And he also had a big fucking cello. And he also broke the big fucking cello over Elias's back. And yeah, this was definitely the best segment of the whole week. It was just amazingly done. Braun, and this is one of those side notes. I have to say, WWE is always looking for, like, always claiming that they're looking for the next big star, right? You got him. You have him. You have him right now. You have Braun Strowman, a guy that's willing to do anything. A guy that has honed his craft. A guy that started off wrestling just as poorly as Mr. Wet Hair and has advanced so much in the ring. A guy that has such a unique look. A guy who is actually good on the mic as opposed to Mr. Wet Hair. A guy who is just beastly strong, but also has a really good sense of humor. He has every single aspect that you want as a guy carrying the company. He should be the guy main eventing WrestleMania. If they don't pull the trigger, I don't know what to say. That would be one of the gravest mistakes ever in WWE history. Braun Strowman right now is more ready for his main event push than Wet Hair was. Probably more so than Cena was, quite frankly. Or Sheamus. Braun is a prodigy of sorts. I'm shocked to say this, but Braun is everything that WWE claims that they want. Every single thing. So why are you holding this man back? It's beyond me. Although, if they put him in the... If it's Braun and Rousey versus Triple H and Stephanie, they'll be like, oh, well, Braun got in the ring with Triple H. That's a rub enough. No. Braun needs to take the belt off Brock. I hate to say this, but fuck Triple H. The rub from Triple H is no longer that big of a rub. Last time Triple H had a big, meaningful win was quarter past one. I have no fucking clue anymore. The Triple H rub has become like the Jericho rub of like 2 years ago when every big match Jericho would lose. And it never made sense because, like, all right, so you beat Jericho. So what? He lost every fucking big match. And that's what it's like right now at Triple H. Triple H needs to do more so that his rub means more. It's not enough just to beat him now. Triple H still needs to maintain some wins for his loss to mean something. So, I don't fucking know. I'm going to move on. This segment was great, though. And Elias and Bayley, amazing. I just really enjoy them. All right. So we then get Mr. Wet Hair Roman Reigns taking on Sheamus. Yeah, this was definitely match of the week. I don't think any match came close to this. I know a lot of people say that the fatal five-way fuckery at the end was really good, and it was. But this was easily 1.5 points better out of 10, in my opinion. This showcased... When we did the end of the year awards, I said Sheamus was the most improved wrestler, and I stand by that. Sheamus is on a whole other level, and when the time is right, Sheamus needs another main event run. He's ready. Like, he's ready. Cesaro's ready. Braun's ready. Roman needs to take a step back, and he needs to take a step back. Cena needs to take a step back. I'm okay with AJ maintaining his current pace, only because I don't know how many more years AJ has left, and he's still the best performer. Roman's a great performer, don't get me wrong, but it will only help Roman in 5 years if he helps make Cesaro, Sheamus, Braun, if Brock helps make those guys. That's what needs to be done, so in 5 years, when we're at WrestleMania, we can have a Cesaro versus Sheamus main event, and it's going to fucking be amazing. Or Braun versus Cesaro? Think about how sweet of a match that would be. And there's a few other guys. Elias, I think, is on the cusp. He's not in that conversation yet, but he's on the cusp. I think Corbin is on the cusp. And, Shinsuke, I think, is on the cusp. Sammy, really, is on the cusp. So there's guys that are just need that last little bit of push, but they gotta make it happen when it's important, when it's memorable. I don't know. Like, I love the shit out of this match. Actually, I probably would have given this match at least a 7.2, I would say. I love this match. I thought they did a hell of a job telling this story. So, kudos to both men. I rip on Roman. I don't rip on Roman the man, because he's done everything that they've asked of him. He's improved in the ring. He's kept his hair wet. He still strokes his forearm like it's a penis, and he says, believe that. But they need, it's not about just one or two guys. Think about it, the Attitude Era was so great because you had Austin, Rock, Triple H, Taker, Foley, Kane, Big Show. Like, there was so many guys, Shawn, really, really early on. Benoit. Like, you had all these guys. And I know I'm missing some people. Oh, Jericho. Of course I'm missing Jericho. Farouk. And that's what made it so special, is that you could keep rotating through these guys and the main event felt great. Felt fresh. That's what they're missing right now. So... moving on. Let's say... No, we won't make that. Actually, yeah, we will make this, Hey, Russ, who's your man crush of the week? And Russ, hey, guys. I'd say it really loud, except I don't feel like being so loud at 6:30 in the morning. Yeah, it's 6:31. So Russ, who's your man crush of the week? Well, guys... I gotta tell you, I really like what they're doing with Finn Balor. He won the match with Flaming Hot Pants, and it was great, but Finn showed me a whole other side of him, and he proved me why he's a main event guy, and look at those abs, they get me all hot and bothered, and gave me a nice big piece of mahogany in my pants, and that's why he's my man crush of the week. Woo! And, I don't know, that'd be about the extent of what he would have to offer. I think Bray's getting back into shape, which is good. Bray fluctuates a lot. think he's getting back into shape, thankfully. I loved when they were setting up the Tower of Doom spot and Bray just ran in and wrecked everybody. I love that. That was a nice change of pace. We don't need the fucking Tower of Doom spot all the fucking time. These guys worked really well together. You had Finn, Seth, Bray, Matt Hardy, and Apollo Crews. There's a part of me that really wanted Apollo Crews to win this because there was another guy that if you just gave him that push and you gave him the right people to work with, Apollo Crews, I think, could be a legit upper mid-card guy. Maybe not main eventer, not now at least, but he could be a guy that could hold a mid-card belt, a guy that could hold his own, have some great matches. I hope that this goes further for him. I think Apollo Crews is incredible in the ring. He's lacking that something, and I don't know if he's ever going to find that certain something that he's missing. Finn looked like $1 million. Seth looked like $1 million. Matt's in pretty good shape. I understand Jeff's due back soon, potentially. And like I said, Bray looks like he's in great shape. This was probably the second best match of the week. Really enjoyed it. Seth and Finn both got the pin on, I don't know, I want to say Bray. And I feel bad for Bray in the fact that just last year he was in the Elimination Chamber match and won the whole thing and won his first championship. This year they have 7 fucking guys in the Elimination Chamber and they can't fit him in? Are you shitting me? It's fucking disgraceful. It's really disgraceful what they've done to Bray Wyatt over the past 12 months. The man deserves so, so, so much more. Still, if you like multi-man matches, you may prefer this match to over the Roman and Sheamus. If you like really well-told singles matches, then Roman and Sheamus would probably be your pick of the match of the week. That's just my 2 cents. It's a really fun match. Good way to close out Raw. Aside from, oh, I don't know who. Well, which guy got the win? Who's going on to, like, stop. Stop being fucking morons here. Please, just stop, commentary team, okay? And fuck having Coach replace Booker T. Unless Booker really just wanted out, Booker T was saving commentary on Raw. You know what I haven't cared about in the past couple weeks? Commentary on Raw. You know why? Because Booker T is not there anymore. Booker T and Corey added such a level of authenticity with going back and forth. They're squabbling. They're constant back and forth. And it, you know, all great duos. You know, they're part of a trio with Cole. Like, you know, Heenan and Monsoon. Kagan, the King and JR. How Paul Heyman and JR was a really good duo. Or Paul Heyman and the King. Paul Heyman with Just By Anybody works really well. There's been other ones in the past. CM Punk actually had a great knack on commentary. Fucking Ventura as well. Ventura and McMahon were gold. My point is that removing Booker to put Coach, just so fucking stupid. Just so fucking stupid. And actually, as good as Raw was, I think that's a layer that's really missing right now. So that was it for Raw. Satisfying show. And according to Russ, he's like, well, definitely watch all of Raw, and then you can just read on SmackDown. It wasn't that good. I don't know what the fuck Russ was talking about, quite frankly. I found SmackDown to be really good this week. I know he's distracted as of late, due to some stuff, and so maybe his head's not quite on right, but I thought SmackDown was really good this week. I feel like we should have a Carrie's Corner, and then I'm sitting there like, oh, I haven't kept up on wrestling news this week, so I don't really know what to talk about other than Rey Mysterio. He's international, kind of. He wants a match against AJ. If Mysterio comes back in the shape that he was in Royal Rumble, yes. Give me Styles versus Rey. One night only. Yes, take my fucking money and give me that match. Rey in limited doses is... I think Rey can still go. One of the bigger problems with Rey is that he got so bulky. And then he got hurt all the time. Like, no, you don't need to get bulky. That hurt him more than anything else, in my opinion, was getting bulky. So, a slimmer Rey is a better Rey for his style. And that was Kent and Carrie's worldwide corner for the week, because Kent didn't do his proper research. Yay! Let's move on to SmackDown. Alright, so we had not much going on, which is good. I like when there's not a lot going on. That means that the segments got time. They got to flow. So, we start off with Baron Corbin versus Dolph Ziggler. Winner would be added to the... what would be the Fatal 4-Way at... I can't remember. Fastlane, maybe? You know, the match with AJ and KO and Sammy. Well, anyways, Dolph was in the ring waiting for Corbin. Corbin's music hits a couple times. No Corbin. Of course, KO and Sammy are beating Corbin backstage. This was really well done. I like the fact that Corbin kept getting up because he is a hoss, but at the same time, the two-man guys, you know, of course, eventually wore him out. And then they came out and they attacked Ziggler, too. I thought this was really well done. And after this whole segment, I was already like, well, this show has to be complete and utter shit because Russ said it was bad. Note to self, don't fucking listen to Russ. That's all. Like, long-time listeners, note to self, just don't listen to Russ. He just doesn't get wrestling sometimes, and this was definitely a night where he didn't get it. Obviously, this story would carry on through the night. Shane McMahon would say, order that Corbin and KO would have a match, Zayn and Ziggler would have a match, and if Corbin or Ziggler won their respective match, they'd be added to the main event for Fastlane. Good stipulation. I had no problem with that. It all made a lot of sense. After that, Sarah Logan came out to have a match, and you know, it's exciting because this coming Sunday, The Walking Dead returns from its mid-season vacation. We're going to find out if, in fact, Carl is going to die or not. Survey says that he is, but Robert Kirkman recently said that that may not be the case. I'm not sure how that can't be the case, but god damn it, if they somehow pull this off where Carl doesn't die, I've got so many... No, I don't have any apologies. No. Stop with the bait and switch, and also don't fuck with Carl. Like, Carl is so important to the story moving forward. I still think he's going to die, but there's so many questions. Like, why did Rick have the flashback of, you know, Judith growing up a little bit, and Carl, and fucking another one rides the bus? But we also know that Rick was at a grave, and he was crying, so... it's tough to know where to believe on this. So, I don't know. I'm very intrigued. I'm thinking Russ will be back on Wednesday, so him and I will get a chance to go delve a little deeper into this. You don't need to hear everything right now, because I'm sure this week on SmackDown, a certain young nature boy fucking daughter will have a match and we'll have to talk about Walking Dead again, of course. Oh, and she beat Sarah Logan. And I think we're basically going to get a six-woman match with Dumbass and Red S and... I can't say what I want to say, so I'm just going to say Naomi versus the Riot Squad. Yay, being politically correct, it's so much fun because everybody takes offense to stuff. Yay. I hate our fucking society. What I can say is that anybody that was offended by that can kiss my black ass. I can say that. So, we then had Corbin versus Kevin Owens, and the crowd was getting behind Corbin. I think that's a first time ever. I think it was historic, as a matter of fact. Of course, commentary didn't talk about it because it had nothing to do with females, so it doesn't matter, you know? It only matters if we're pushing a PC agenda. Yay! Kiss my black ass, WWE. Baron Corbin won. This was a good fucking match. This was really good. Like, it wasn't great, but it was definitely in the 6-plus, 6-7 range. Like, it was definitely a 6-point-something match. This was really a good showcase. Both guys worked well together. I remember, you know, months ago when Corbin kept, like, referring to KO as, you know, fat Eric Cartman, and I wanted to see this match back then, and... this was great. I would definitely watch a feud between these two. Both guys are great in the ring. Corbin could learn a lot from KO. I just think it'd be a really good matchup. For first time that I've ever seen these two go one-on-one, as far as I can recall. Really solid effort, and I'm happy that Corbin is back to a main event slot for, you know, 1 month at the very least. Not many people... gosh, I'm trying to think of anybody that's gotten screwed more over the past 6 months than Corbin. Corbin was in line to be a world champion. And then... do-do-do-do, I have a golden shovel. Do-do-do-do, never gonna marry Nikki Bella. Do-do-do-do, came along. And, yeah. So... probably this was my favorite match of the week. Favorite match on SmackDown of the week. Obviously, there's another match that I'll talk about later that was also very good. After that, we had the U.S. Open Challenge with Bobby Roode, and out come Randall Orton, and then Jinder came out. And I gotta say, for all the talent in that ring, it wasn't Bobby Roode or Randy Orton on the mic that made this segment work. Jinder Mahal owned the segment. I was very impressed. This is how Jinder Mahal should have been used all of last year. Jinder had no right being world champ, but God, he worked so well in this environment, and it's nice because I think Randy is at a point where he's like the anti-Cena. He's enjoying, like, helping the new guys get over. So, like, he's there helping Jinder. He already helped Jinder last year. He's now here to help Roode. This has... obviously, this is leading to a three-way match at Fastlane, and that's fine with me. This should be a really good match. Hell, if we get Bobby versus Randy at Mania, that'll be a fucking... that would have potential to steal the show, as long as, you know, like, insects didn't appear in the ring and stuff. Let's just never talk about WrestleMania 33 ever again. It never happened, right? I don't know. Enjoyable segment, though. After that, we had the New Day getting a win over American Beta. I guess American Beta is officially heel now, which is fine. I don't know if Chad Gable is necessarily a good heel. I just like the fact that they're trying to do what's right for them. They're no different than the fucking Usos, but the Usos are faces sometimes. But like, it's all the same mentality. The SmackDown tag division is the best division going today. The only thing that's holding them back is they need to get the belts off the Usos and get the belts on some other teams. Like, do some quick championship title changes. Legitimize as many as possible. That would be my suggestion. Talking about Bludgeon Brothers. Because they bludgeon TVs. Because they're brothers. Yeah. This match was actually really good. I don't know why I said actually. Of course, this match was good. It wasn't great. It was probably the third best on SmackDown. This was a good week of wrestling. Once again, Russ has no fucking clue what he's talking about. Because SmackDown had all of like six segments and five of them were good. The only one that wasn't good was when they were advertising for Walking Dead. So, kudos to everybody involved in the match. Finally, we had the main event of Ziggler versus Zayn. Shit. You know, I was supposed to make the whole opening segment the Were You Not Entertained? But since I fucked up and we only have this segment left, this week's Were You Not Entertained segment was Sami Zayn versus Dolph Ziggler, and Dolph won. Was I entertained? Yes. Do I want to see Dolph and Corbin versus KO and Zayn this coming week? I'm hoping that's where they're going with it. Ziggler and Corbin have a huge history. They should be fine. Or Ziggler and AJ versus KO and Zayn. Or KO and Zayn versus Ziggler, Corbin, and AJ, so Shane could be like, I'm an evil McMahon. Whatever. I'm fine with it. Did this match kick ass? Yes. Are these two of the best workers going today? Yeah, of course they are. They are great. I still don't think this was as good as Corbin versus KO. But that's because it, you know, that's my preferred style of match. I prefer that style. This was great, though. I enjoyed it. Fuck, man. Obviously, nobody's beating AJ because AJ versus Shinsuke is money. But I think Dolph's getting a world championship run this year. I think that's going to happen. And I think he deserves it. And I want him to have a good run with it. I also think this is the year Sammy finally gets it, too. So, and I think this year Corbin may get it. So, SmackDown's still the best in some regards, as far as opportunity goes. Because, you know, at least their championship gets defended every once in a while, and it's not awful looking, and AJ Styles doesn't turn purple in the ring and may probably won't die in the ring during a match. So, lots of perks for SmackDown. So, yes, I was entertained. Ziggler won. I thought Ziggler won with the zigzag. That's something that WWE needs to fix. They need to make the zigzag a game changer again. That is important. I loved how he went for the Famouser. Sammy kind of escaped it, but then went for it again. I liked that sequence. I liked a lot of sequences in this match. So, no idea what the fuck Russ was talking about. This really worked well for me. I enjoyed it. And that's the week that was in wrestling. I haven't watched that at NXT, so I can't vouch for it. Maybe if I had a neck beard, I could, but I don't. With that being said, you know, there's some matches already advertised for tonight on Raw. There's been plenty foreshadowed, so the build-up to Elimination Chamber is fast and furious. And shit, is that this coming weekend? It might be. I don't know. Me and Russell have to do our due diligence to figure out when the hell that is, but I think it's actually this coming Sunday. Which, if that's the case, well, that kind of sucks. Let's see. February 25th? Yeah, it's this coming Sunday. So, let's see. Do I want to watch a historic first half blah, 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 blah bullshit or Walking Dead? Yeah, exactly. So, to end this, we're going to say, we're going to do another of our segments. I'm not finished with you, as Mr. Strowman would say. So the question is, what am I most looking forward to this coming week? And the answer is, I want to know what Ziggler and Corbin are going to be doing. That has my interest more than anything else right now. And secondly, I'd like to see more from Bludgeon Brothers. And finally, goddamn, I really want to know. Like, I want to see Elias do more, but I think there's some gauntlet bullshit, so I don't care about that. I'd like to see if they follow up any more with Apollo Crews. I'd like to see him have a match at the Elimination Chamber. Oh, big news. Oh, this could have been Kent Carey's corner this week. Big news is that after WrestleMania, all the pay-per-views are going to be dual-branded. Basically, this is a first time ever historic epic fucking failure. Having brand exclusive pay-per-views is the right way to go. They had too many of them, but it was still the right way to go. It sounds like basically every pay-per-view is going to be 6 fucking hours long because they're going to do probably the 2-hour pre-show, 4-hour pay-per-view. And god damn it, those just wear me out. So I'm not in favor of this. When all is said and done, is this going to help average out where we're going to get less hour wrestling pay-per-views because we'll only get one a month? Probably. So it's probably... There's highs and lows to this, but lots of guys and girls are not going to get matches anymore on pay-per-view because of this fucking blunder. So this is really stupid. Really, 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 really stupid. So shame on WWE for being this stupid. Normally this week we would wrap this up with a Guess the Wrestler. And, well, basically, I'll just save everybody the hassle. The wrestler was Eddie Guerrero's nephew, Chavo. Yay! Everybody playing at home won! Yay! All right, that wraps up this week's episode of Are You Not Entertained? Hopefully this Wednesday, Russ will be back. Sounds like he should be. So I won't be talking to myself acting like a fucking idiot. I'll be able to just yell at Russ and call him a fucking idiot. Because that's what I do best, okay? So I hope so. Anyways, best wishes to everybody. Hope you had a fucking great Valentine's Day and didn't get the fucking clap. I mean, if you did get the clap on Valentine's Day, that also means you got laid, so good for you. You know, pluses and minuses. Ebbs and flows. All right. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you soon.